Continuing this month in the book of Proverbs, just different things stood out to me. And this proverb, chapter 11, verse 4, kind of stood out to me. It kind of connects in my mind Halloween that we just had, poking fun at the things that scare us and poking fun at death and evil, and Thanksgiving that's coming. And when we think about this proverb, I want us to think, one, about the seriousness of life and the end of life, but to be able to give thanks to God for what He's given us in Jesus Christ. Because when we think about the seriousness of life and the end of life as we know it, then we begin to realize how blessed we are to know Jesus Christ. Proverbs 11:4 reads, "Wealth is worthless in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death." A lot of people put a lot of emphasis upon their wealth. It can be, financial wealth. It can be health wealth. It can be knowledge wealth. Mankind puts a lot of effort into amassing things. Maybe it's money, maybe it's power, maybe it's knowledge. But mankind puts a lot of effort into these things. And when you think about it, even, for our young people, for many here, you can go way into debt just to gain knowledge. Somewhere along the way, the things that we strive for in this world have become very costly. But those who attain it, kind of like that old saying, "He who dies with the most toys wins." But I always kind of laughed at that. I don't know if you'd heard that before, but I have heard it for years. And I always thought how idiotic that is. Because when you die, someone else gets your toys. Naked we came into this world, and naked we leave it, according to Job. We take nothing out of this world except our record. All of us know you can go onto the computer and sign in, and then ads will pop up because they know what your interests are. If you're like Rhonda, you get in the mail from Kroger coupons for the things that you regularly buy. There's a record of everything. There's really no privacy in our day and age because everything about us is online. It's in a report somewhere. That they can look you up and find out anything they want about each and every one of us. There's a record. If you have a traffic ticket, that'll be on your driving record until the day you die. They'll just know it comes up. If you're charged with anything, it'll always be on that record. If you spend a night in jail, it'll always be on that record. Education. Your educational record follows you. Your health record, that follows you. It's always amazing to me how I can go to the doctor. Sometimes they don't communicate well, but the records are there. They're there. And anyone who has access to the records knows your health conditions. So why should it surprise us that God keeps a record? He does. We're told in Revelation that there are books opened that records everything we have ever done. And we will be judged according to those. Even Jesus said that when He comes, He will judge everyone according to how each has done. He will reward us according to how each has done. So every detail of our life is known by God. All the good, all the bad, all the ugly. And so when we think about the day of the Lord's return, Scripture talks time and time and time again, both Old and New Testaments, that it's going to be a day of wrath. A day of wrath. Because the bulk of humanity will have rejected God through their life. As each person has gone through their life, not paying attention to God, some flatly rejecting Him, some accepting false gods, some thinking of themselves as their own God. but not having time for the one true God, the creator of all things. Not having any concern for Jesus who came to pay for our sins and give us the hope of eternal life, forgiveness through his blood. And on that day, it will be a day of wrath. God's going to express his anger. And why? Because God gives people opportunity time and time and time and time again. He's reaching out, calling people to himself. And people seem to think they know better than to trust him. And come that day, all that they've strived for in this world, all the wealth that they've striven for, all the health that they've worked hard for, all the knowledge that they've worked so hard for, will suddenly be worthless. Because all that we know here will be done away with. And so any knowledge that we've gained here, as valuable as it is here, all the wealth we've collected here is valuable here. Our health, you know, valuable here. But all of that is useless, worthless in eternity. I'm sure you've heard about the man who died very wealthy, and he told his wife, "Now, when you bury me, turn all my money into gold and put it into suitcases and bury it with me." And the dutiful wife she was, she did. Packed his suitcases with his gold and buried him with it. He got to the pearly gates, and Peter said, "What's in the suitcases?" And he opened it up and he said, "Why did you bring pavement with you?" Streets paved of gold. Worthless. Worthless in the life to come. Wealth is not going to keep anyone from going to hell. There are a lot of wealthy people who rely upon their wealth. Even Jesus said, it's difficult for a wealthy person to enter the kingdom of heaven. It's not impossible with God, but that means that such a person has to make God their God, not their wealth. And so even for us, you know, there's nothing wrong with being wealthy. There's nothing wrong with working hard to have more. But when that becomes our sole purpose, our sole drive, when that becomes our God, and there's no room for the one true God, there's no room for Jesus Christ, there's no room for the kingdom of God in our life, then we've turned our backs upon God and chased solely after the temporary things of this world. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6, Paul wrote, "Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient." Empty words. That just means things that are not based upon God's word. The wisdom of mankind, the things that are constantly changing, the opinions, the views, the things that man comes up with where he thinks he is the God of his own planet. And there's no need for the one true God. Those words are empty because ultimately they don't work. And because of that, God's wrath is coming into this world to bring it to an end and punish those who are disobedient. Zephaniah in the Old Testament, chapter 1, verse 18, Zephaniah wrote, "Neither their silver nor their gold will be able to save them on the day of the Lord's wrath. In the fire of his jealousy, the whole world will be consumed, for he will make a sudden end of all who live in the earth." You know, all that one has will be burned up. And all who relied upon those things will be destroyed. Matthew 3, 7 and 8 says, "But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees," talking about John the Baptist, "coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, 'You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance.'" See, John looked at the religious leaders and saw that there was no repentance in their heart. There was no true desire for God, just loving their religious position. And so he said, "Who warned you? Who did you listen to that brought you here? If you're coming, produce fruit in keeping with repentance." Because see, that's the only hope. That's why when Jesus began preaching and began his ministry, He was preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, repent, repent. Turn back to God. Colossians 3, verses 5 and 6, Paul wrote, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. The things of this world that we see all around us, these things God hates. And because people wrap their arms around these sins and cherish these sins and live these sins and promote these sins, God's wrath will pour down upon all such people. Revelation 6, verses 15 through 17. Then the kings of the earth, the princes, the generals, the rich, the mighty, and every slave and every free man hid in caves and among the rocks of the mountains. They called to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who can stand? See, no one will be able to stand before the Almighty God when he comes. All who've lived by their own standards, their own views, will perish when they stand before the God they cannot hide from. We need to realize that life is life and death. We can live our lives and be happy in our lives and go along each day. And, you know, each day is each day with its good points and its bad points, its sadness, its joys. And then we face death and we're sad and, you know, loved ones come and loved ones go. And we know our day's coming, but we try to ignore that. And maybe it's because we take not only life too lightly, but we take God too lightly. As Christians, we need to always remember the purpose of life, and that is to choose, while as long as we have breath, to follow the Lord and not the ways of the world. The ways of the world will end and be destroyed, and all who follow those ways. And God's going to be extremely angry with all such people. That's a fact. That's not something that we can push aside. That's the reality. And I saw on Amazon this week, you know, they had a lot of, and last week, scary movies and all. And, you know, I kind of like the old ones, you know, with Dracula and the Wolfman. They're mild compared to the horror movies of this day, where there's so much gore and so much blood and people just want to be scared to death. But that's nothing compared to what they're going to face when the Lord comes again. I don't like scary movies like that. And so I don't want to be scared when the Lord comes again, because it's going to be terrifying and there's no way out. There's no way to hit the stop button. There's no way to hit rewind. It's going to be the end of all that we know here. But the point is, all the things that people value are worthless, cannot salve God's anger. But being right with God, trusting Him, walking with Him, that delivers us from death. Romans 2, verses 5 through 8, Paul wrote, because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath, when His righteous judgment will be revealed. God will give to each person according to what he has done. To those who by perseverance in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger. Again, you know, Paul's talking about that terrible day and how horrible it's going to be. But to those who continue to strive to do good, to seek glory with God, to seek honor with God, to seek immortality with Him. That is, the whole idea is to strive to know the Lord and trust His word and live by it. He, when He comes, will give us eternal life. That day will not be a day of wrath for us. That day will be a day of rejoicing as His angels gather us up and we stand before the Lord and we hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And that "well done, good and faithful servant" is only in what He just said. Consistently working to do good as God would have us do, to seek His glory, to seek His honor, to seek immortality, a relationship with Him that will last forever. That's the life the Lord has given us when we came to Him. The ability with God, the Holy Spirit's help, and through the Word to lead good lives, to seek to a good relationship with the Lord, to look forward to the glory that is coming, to be honored by the Lord as we honor Him, to live the immortality that He's given us so that it will indeed be ours forever, to hold on to it for all it's worth. This is God's great gift to us. Not that we have earned it or deserve it, but by His sacrifice and our commitment to follow Him, God works in us through His grace, through His power, through His wisdom, to build us as His people. But if we turn our backs upon that and live as the world does, then as Paul wrote elsewhere, there's no other way of salvation. You know, we cannot be brought back to the Lord if we refuse to follow His way. There's no other way. Romans 5:9, "Since we have been justified by His blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through Him?" That's the thing about Thanksgiving coming up. We have so much more to be thankful for than anybody else, because everybody else talks about, oh, what they have. You know, the roof over their heads and the cars that they drive and the money in the bank and the sense of accomplishment and whatever else people can brag about and be happy about and should be thankful for. And we have those things we should express gratitude to, but we have more. We need to be thankful, not just on Thanksgiving Day, but every day, that we now have been brought into a relationship with God, justified by His blood. And knowing then that as we follow Christ, come Judgment Day, we'll be saved from God's wrath. We're going to be pushed to the side and elevated and praised and then ushered into eternity, where there will be the wedding feast, as Revelation refers to it, as we begin to enjoy the wonders of eternity. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 14. Excuse me. "The day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with His promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with Him." That's reality. Destruction is coming. But through Jesus Christ, we have the promise of life eternal. But notice His sacrifice that we celebrate around the table is not just something He did and now we have no obligation. But we are called, in keeping with His promise, He says here, we're looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. And since we're looking forward to this, we need to make every effort to grow and develop as Christians in keeping with His will, in keeping with His word, to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with Him. You know, that's a lifetime of effort. That doesn't happen overnight. That doesn't happen instantaneously. It's what we must work for. "Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as we look forward to that day." And we can look forward to that day. because of what we have in Jesus Christ. Yeah, I always found it interesting that this time of year, we have Halloween, then we have Thanksgiving, then we have Christmas. And they really do kind of fit, don't they? Evil is in this world, and evil will be destroyed. But those who follow Jesus can be grateful for what we have in Him and what we have to look forward to. Not wrath, but great joy. And it's all possible because God sent the Savior, Jesus Christ, that all who put their trust in Him shall not perish, but have the gift of eternal life. As we come to this Thanksgiving season, now, Halloween's past. People have already forgotten about it. But we must not. The horrors, the terror that's coming is real. And we need to be in prayer for those around us who do not believe. You know, we can't scare them into coming to the Lord. You know, these terrible things that Scripture tells us are for our knowledge, to remind us of how important life is. And not just our own life, but those around us. People need Jesus. And if they don't want Jesus, that's their choice. But it's a danger for them we need to be aware of. And so we're praying for and looking for every opportunity to reach out with the good news of what Christ has done, so that people can have the opportunity to come to Him. Because who knows at what point someone may turn to the Lord. They may resist Him for years. And then one day the Spirit gets through. And they're ready to come to the Lord. Because come Judgment Day, we don't want to see people we know and love on the wrong side. We want to see them on the side we're on. The side looking forward to eternity with the God who loves us and gave of Himself so that we could be His. Not on the side that rejected Him. Right now we're going to sing a song called You Are My King. And that's something that we must always celebrate. The Lord is my King. The amazing love that He has for each one of us. We need to cherish that and value that for all it's worth. Because life is about life or death. We have chosen life, but let's keep choosing it day by day, and let's keep sharing it with those around us. Let's stand together, shall we, and sing.